Let's turn again this morning to James chapter 2. Beginning with verse 18. Let's hear the word of God. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Now, Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing. Once again, we're privileged to open the word. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate the scriptures to us, to open our hearts and our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. You know, generally speaking, people like to give. What they give, I mean, that can vary. But there is a general good feeling in the giving of something, whether that's time. Some people donate their time. Other people will donate things that they have accumulated over the years to worthy causes or whatnot. But most commonly when we speak of giving, the topic that jumps up in our minds is that the idea of financial support for something. According to the National Center for Charitable Services, and hard to believe, but there is such a thing, there are more than 1.5 million nonprofit organizations, not including churches. People who survive by charity, through donations from people who like to give. And we're told that 65% of those who profess to be religious give to charities. And that leads to two questions, at least in my mind. What is meant by religious? Are they claiming to be Christian? Is it 65% of people who claim to be Christian that give to charities? Or are they engaged in some other type of religious persuasion? Are they Buddhist? Are they Muslim? Are they humanist? And go on down the line. Secondly, what is it exactly that motivates the giving? Do they give simply for the pleasure of giving? Or is there some doctrinal mandate that requires them to give? Does the individual who gives, do they somehow have it in their own mind that by their giving of whatever it is, they're somehow improving their position with God? James looks at this, and as we've seen the last couple of weeks, actually, he's looking at this from two different perspectives. Those who claim to have faith and do nothing, and those who do things but don't really have so much faith. He looks at this one who argues, and he says, "I have faith." But then he says, there's little evidence to support that claim. And last week we questioned what exactly was meant by the term faith. What were they saying when they said they had faith? Did it mean that they were good church-going people? Did it mean that they were participants and adherents to the ancient creeds? What exactly, what did they mean by saying that they had faith? Or was the claim to faith an admission, a testimony of one who has total reliance upon the finished work of Christ alone for their salvation? Now, James is arguing that it's not a situation of either or. And again, we're not talking about salvation, but we're talking about the demonstration of real faith, of true religion. They don't separate. It can't be an either or. There is a combination of the two. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Then he says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. There's always a cry that goes up. Whenever you talk to somebody, whenever you question motivation sometimes, the cry is, you're judging me. As though that you're not allowed to do that. What right do you have to judge me? You can't say what I do or don't do matters. I believe in God. You see, and there it is. The statement that justifies, at least in our own minds, I believe in God. And James is confronting that very issue. He says, you believe that there is one God? Well, good. You do well. It's a good thing that you believe in God. But you know what? So do the demons. Do you know that Satan and his minions are not atheists? There are those little imps that go about and they promote the idea of atheism. They would like it a lot if you did not believe in the existence of the Almighty. But they're believers. They solidly believe in Almighty God. They're Trinitarian. They believe in God the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit. They might be welcome in a lot of Presbyterian churches. Not ours. They know the truths that are taught in the Apostles' Creed. They could probably recite it. God is the maker. Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son. They are fully aware of Christ's sinless life. They antagonized. When Christ lived his 30-plus years on this earth, they were about the business of trying to get him to trip up, to stumble. They're fully aware that Christ lived a sinless life. They understand the reality of his death, and more so, they understand the victory of his resurrection. The satanic throng is fully knowledgeable concerning the one day coming, second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. And the thing that keeps them up at night is that they are very much aware of their ultimate doom. The demons believe. And how do they react to their belief? They tremble. They shudder. The word describes a frightened cat that bristles. And the fur stands up on its back when it's scared. That is the reaction of the demons to the truth of Jesus Christ. They believe in God, and that scares them to death. And sad to say, that's more than some men do. We live in a world that has no fear of God before their eyes. We live in a world that is self-confident, that they can do whatever they please. They're answerable to no one. They're happy to admit that maybe there is a God out there, but God has no special impact on my life. God really doesn't interfere. I do what I please. There is no fear of God in the eyes of some men. But for the demonic hordes, there is no hope. They have no opportunity for redemption. They know it. With men, at least there's an opportunity to hear the gospel. Whether you can actually hear it, it can be put into your ears. The point that James is trying to make in these couple of verses here is that there is a belief which is not true faith. There are people who can have a testimony of saying, I believe that there is a God, but they don't have true religion. They don't have true faith. You remember back in the 8th chapter of Acts, it seems like centuries ago now when we went through the book of Acts, but when we got into the 8th chapter of Acts, it told the story of Simon the sorcerer. Simon was a guy who was skilled in the what we might say, the magical arts. He was a great sleight of hand guy. He could do all kinds of things. And he was amongst the crowd watching the apostles, minister to people. And he was impressed. And the scriptures tell us that Simon believed and was baptized. He went all in. This is a good thing, man. He looks at this and he says, this might help my business. Well, he believed and he was baptized, but what was it that he believed? He believed in the power that was exercised by the apostles. He believed that those guys had something that he did not have. And he wanted it. Things were not so different then as they are, or now as they were then. How often is it that we think that we can simply buy what it is that we need? We just, if I don't have it, I'll just go get a loan. I'll get what I need. Well, Simon had deluded himself. He said, you know what? He approached Peter and he says, hey, how much do you need for me to get some of this power? I really like what you guys are doing. It's an impressive thing. You're really having an impact on the crowds. They're swarming. They're thronging about you. I could use that. That could really enhance my business to obtain this kind of power. Did Peter give him a figure? No, Peter gave him a rebuke. He basically said, you're damned and your money with you. He said, you need to repent from me even making such an inquiry. Back in Matthew 7, Jesus talked about some guys. And he said in the 21st verse, he said, not everyone who comes to me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, he who does the will of my Father. There are men who claim to have faith. who claimed to do works. How did Jesus describe these guys? He said, hey, you know what? They were out among the people. They were offering prophecies. They were casting out demons out of people. They were working great works. These are guys who said they had a testimony of faith, that they had a belief in Jesus. But Jesus said, these guys, they come to me, and I had to say to them, I don't know who you are. You're not one of mine. The deeds that these guys did were not of true faith. The 25th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. You had true faith. You had real faith. And there was something that went along with that. There was an exercise. You had works combined with that faith. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? When? When did we? We were about our business. We were doing our thing every day. We were faithful to show up to church. We even put a couple of bucks in the offering. When did these things happen? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, this is not some doctrine that James just kicked up on his own. Jesus taught us that true religion, real faith, goes hand in hand with doing something. Our belief is not just a surface level belief that says, yeah, okay, there's a God out there. Our belief is a belief that says, yeah, there's a God out there, but it goes deep within us. real faith, active faith, it's not just mentally grasping the truth. It's a belief that involves the heart. It goes deep down. It says, you know what? I have to do something. Let me brag about my grandkid just a little bit. Just a tiny little bit. Here's a guy that got hurt. You know? And it wasn't enough just to break your arm one time. He had to do it twice. If you're going to do something, you want to do it right. He broke his arm on Wednesday, and he was in school on Thursday. He would not be prevented from coming to school. Furthermore, he wanted to be here on Friday. He was not going to be prevented from that. Do you know why? Because it was important that he be part of the ministry to Debbie and Robin. It was important to do for others. There is a belief there. There is a faith there, however immature it may be at this stage in his life. You can't say it's not real. But, you know, it's my grandkid. Fact of the matter is, that's the truth of all of you who have real faith in Jesus Christ. That's the truth of all of you. A little girl goes missing, and people who believe in God, who have faith in Jesus, search their own property to see if possibly she's there. There's a concern. There is a genuine heartbreak, if you would, that says, I need to do something. It's not enough just for me to believe that God has it under control, which he does. But we need to be involved in some way. That's just one instance. But that will apply to us every day of our lives. Now, every day we're not going to go do some fantastic thing, some sensational thing that requires headlines. What did Jesus say? You know what? You came to the least of these, my brethren, who was thirsty, and you gave him a drink. You saw a brother or sister who had a flat tire on the side of the road, you stop to change it to help them out. You became aware of some brother or sister in Christ who needed a transmission replaced. And you said, I sure can't buy a transmission, but I can do something. I can help in some way. Can I steal a little from my sermon last week? And can I just embarrass y'all? Let me just say this. I feel sorry that Debbie and Robin, that their transmission is broke. But I feel sorry $100 worth. Okay? They'll be getting a check from me for $100 towards that. How sorry are you? You do what you can. You do what you can. And you don't feel guilty because you can't do more. But you do something. It's one thing to say that I believe the airplane will hold me. It's something else entirely to get in and fly somewhere in it. The belief that James is promoting is one that says that from our heart we understand that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus alone is my Savior. That I can't merit anything. And it's a belief that puts total confidence in Christ to enable you to put feet to your faith. He called us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he knows that in ourselves we don't have enough strength. We have to be dependent on Christ. We have to. We need to be about the business every day of going to our Lord in prayer, to call upon him for his grace so that we might be faithful in whatever it is we're called to do, to be believers, to be doers, hand in hand. Let's pray.